Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. A very special guest once again. I believe this may be her fifth time on our show. I'm losing track. You are a frequent guest, Governor Kathy Hochul, the 57th governor of New York State. She's the only woman to hold this office in New York State history. Thank you once again for coming on Reaching Out.
Well, Greg, it's always a pleasure to be with you and have a chance to speak directly to the men and women that you represent in a larger audience. It's an important conversation, and I'm really grateful for that.
Thank you. And we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. So we will begin. You recently announced a first-of-its-kind inflation refund that would put $3 billion back into the pockets of hardworking New Yorkers. How will this make a difference for families who are feeling the pinch right now? And tell us what it is that you and how you came up with the concept of putting money back into families' pockets.
Well, I will say this. I'm really glad you asked this question, because what it is a continuation of my efforts as governor for the last 3 years to find ways to, first of all, let New Yorkers know we listen to them, we understand the stress they're going through, as well as what are we going to do about it? And whether it's help with childcare or healthcare or education and housing, they're all important, but sometimes people just need to feel there's a direct result of government listening to them and putting $300 to $500 back in their pockets. I mean, a family of four, two, three, whatever, how many kids you have, getting $500, it makes a huge difference. And the reason we can do this, to answer your question, every family in New York over the last 3 years has paid more for everything, from diapers and formula and sneakers and backpacks, because inflation went up. It wasn't anybody's fault. They've been working hard. They try to save. They pay their bills. But inflation drove the cost of everything higher. But when you think about it, we collect sales tax on every purchase. Our sales tax revenues in the state of New York, because prices went up, we collected an additional $3 billion that we didn't expect to collect. Oh. So I said, we can either spend this on state programs, or why not show New Yorkers we care about them, we want to help them very, very directly. And if I can get this through the legislature and I could use your help to advocate for this in Albany, we get this done, that is money back in their pockets directly. And I'm excited about this. I just came back from the Queens Center shopping mall, and I was in, you know, the subway going out there and on the train. I'm talking to everybody about this, and they're almost in disbelief that there's a governor who actually cares about them enough to say, I get what you're going through and I'm going to help. And those, that's the whole idea behind it. And you can help amplify that for us. It's really important.
Well, we're going to do that right now. We're going to do that right now on this show. We're going to replay it over and over again. So the $3 billion is an additional revenue that came from sales tax.
Right.
That's right. That is a wonderful thing that you just announced about giving $3 billion back. So tell us how that would work. I'm a person listening to the show, and I know I'm not going to get $3 billion, but tell me how my share is going to be determined, and how and when, if we get this through. We're going to get this through, because I don't see any legislator saying, no, I'm not going to give the money back to the people if you ask for this. You're not asking for money for yourself, because there's so many times you come and you put forward taxes and fees. Now, this is the opposite. I don't see anybody voting against it. So somebody's going to do it, but I don't see the majority voting against this. So how would this work?
Sure. I have to put it in my budget proposal, which I'm working on right now. It'll be announced in January. Then I start negotiating with the legislature in March, hope to get it passed by the end of March, which is our deadline. And then we'll look at the people who paid taxes when you have to pay the state of New York in April, and we'll know who the taxpayers are. And if you earn less than $300,000 and you have a family, We'll make sure by hopefully by the end of summer, early fall, we can get money back in your pockets. And if you're a single tax filer, $300. So I want to make that happen as much as you do. Talk about it to your members. But I also say there may be some members of the legislature who say that's too much. Some of the Republicans are against this, which is fine. They're against this because they think we shouldn't do this. I don't agree. Other people might think, well, why don't you go spend it on this or this or this, other ideas. I said, there's only one way I want this spent. That is to give New Yorkers at least a chance to look at that stack of bills for 1 month and say, I can pay this. I'm going to be okay. Or when they go to the grocery store, and I've announced this in many grocery stores, walking through the aisles, shocked at the price of everything from eggs to butter to milk. I know they want it. And we have to be the ones who get it out there for them. So this is on top of many other initiatives we're going to have, but this is the one that I think really sends a message. We do care about you.
Well, that's a strong message. You've often talked about growing up in a family that struggled to make ends meet. Your father worked in the steel mills. Your mother raised six children. And it was the union card that helped lift your family out of poverty. And this goes a long way. I'm certain all of my members will be asking me once they hear this, when is the check coming? And we know this won't be coming if passed. We'll follow it through before June. So, I mean, I was listening to the timeline because I always listen to when, the what and the when. So we got to lobby to get this through. You get it through, it'll be June because, you know, nothing ever goes smoothly. So we won't see anything before June. So for those of you who are listening, you want to know when is it coming before June. And when you file your taxes in New York State, the state will be able to determine who is eligible for this funding. It's not putting in for money, right? Correct?
You don't have to do this. Taxes. We'll take care of that. Yes. And again, most people in New York make less than $300,000, right? I don't know too many people in that category. So most New Yorkers are going to receive this. And as you mentioned, growing up in a steel town, Buffalo, my grandparents who came here fleeing great poverty, my grandpa worked as a migrant farm worker. My grandparents were domestic servants. And then they were able to find jobs in Buffalo working at the steel mills. My dad worked there. His brothers worked there. And when my dad and grandpa had that union card that said they're part of the steelworkers, that changed everything. That meant my parents, who started in a trailer park, would have enough money to get a little apartment someday where I was born and to keep moving up and living the American dream. So I value union membership. And Greg, I'm so grateful to you for the leadership of the men and women you represent, whether they're at NYCHA and all the countless places that they're public servants making our city function. That is extraordinary. And I can never express my gratitude enough for what they're willing to do and the contributions they make to our communities.
On behalf of them, thank you for the recognition. And I could tell in your voice and now through this policy that growing up in a union household, this really affects the way you think and govern, because for you to think of New Yorkers in the way of, hey, we got an extra $3 billion, we're going to put it toward having New Yorkers be able to pay at least one bill. So, I mean, they will greatly appreciate what you're doing and what you're trying to do. You did mention groceries going up, housing, groceries. And unfortunately, I bring up a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of people in the nation thought with this last election that prices were going to come down. And those of us who know better know once it goes up, it doesn't come down. It can stay the same, but it never comes down. So the lie that was told, and now the person is going around saying, I won't be able to do that. I said, oh, surprise. No, okay, not the first person to lie to people, not the first person to fool people. And now he's dove into the wars. You say, you know, it's not easy to stop a war. No, it's not. It's easy to lie about it. It's easy to make people think you know what you're doing and saying. But now that you're in the seat, you have to produce. And it's one thing when you're running as an incumbent, you know what can be done. It's another thing when you're running against a challenger. The challenger could say whatever they want to say. And when they get there, they say, you know, when I was running, I really had these ideas that's not going to come to fruition. And people go for it all time and time again. And in the time that we have, at Christmas time, the Christmas season, we always know that cartoon, Charlie Brown, and we see Lucy with that football, and she says, Charlie Brown, I'm not going to move the football. But that man never kicked that football. So that's what I think of politics.
I love what you're saying. I love the Charlie Brown stories, the Charlie Brown's Christmas stories. And also, you're right about how people are sometimes misled by people running for office, or even, you know, there's ads running out there saying we're going to hurt home care workers or people that are getting services because they have disabilities. We would never do that. We're trying to really fight for them. I'm trying to take money from the middlemen who are taking money from an important program to help cover home health care aids. Even if they're your family member, we want you to be able to stay at home and get the care you need. And just like when people lie when they're running for office, as you mentioned, the person who's occupying the White House in another month or so, there's also ads out there telling people that they're going to be hurt by some government decisions. I want to cut out all the middlemen and put that money right back in the program so people can have the home health care aid they want. So I know what disinformation campaigns are all about, and it happens in my elections as well. But you know what, Greg? We have to be the tellers of the truth and have the credibility to say, no, that's not how it is. And no, your groceries were not going to go down. The cost of groceries were not just because you elect one person. And we're not going to be taking programs away from people who need them, especially our most vulnerable. I would never do that. So it's all right. We have chances like to talk on your show about what the truth is, and people listen to you. And I'm really grateful to have this chance to just say some of the initiatives I'm working on. We have a lot more coming in my State of the State address for 2025, talking about, you know, families that are struggling and how we can help with the cost of childcare and what it costs to have raise a children these days. I'm New York's first mom governor. I know how hard it is. I know what the cost of diapers and formula can do to that. When our kids grew out of diapers and formula, I said to my husband, I think we're rich now because we're not spending most of our income on all these things. So I understand more than anybody what it's like to struggle when you're growing up. My parents used to take us to used clothing stores for our clothes, or my mom wouldn't be able to bring home our clothes. She put them on layaway, and we bought stale bread, and my mom would stick it in the freezer at the discount stores. And, you know, that I'm a long way from that. I am blessed. Life has been good to me. God has been good to me. But there's a lot of people that I'm not going to leave behind, the people that still live in the trailer park where my parents started and are living in substandard housing and have to worry about, do the elevators and NYCHA work? And is the heat going to go on this winter? People are struggling, and I care about them deeply. And that's why I love being governor, is I can do something about it. I can't solve all the problems immediately, but I have a plan moving forward, and I'm excited about it.
You mentioned the home health care ads, and those are very effective because I start hearing chatter. So you have the time right now, and we want you to explain exactly what it is, because those ads are 30 seconds, and those 30 seconds do a lot of damage. But you have the time to explain to New Yorkers, people listening, exactly what it is. So please tell us about that, because you brought it up, and I want you to be able to elaborate on that.
I'm really happy to. And there's been this campaign, a smear campaign against me and some policies that last year we said, we have to make smart decisions to save programs that are really important to New Yorkers. And one of them is called CDPAP, where someone can decide who they want to take care of them in their home. It's, we'll pay for a family member to take care of someone who's, you know, elderly, can't make their own food, and they can't take their medicine, or someone who has long-term disabilities. These are the people we care about the most. And this program has been so abused. More money is spent on this program in New York State than all the other states by far. And what has happened is, it's a little bit complicated, but California has one intermediary, one person who handles all the payments and takes care of all this, one company taking care of this service for 40 million people. We have 20 million New Yorkers. We have 700 companies that have sprung up as the middlemen, taking money off the top that's not going into this program. So we're shifting it to be more like the California program, having one intermediary. Clearly, there's going to be some companies that are affected. They're not going to be able to keep doing what they're doing. And so they're running ads to try and say that we're going to hurt the people. That's not going to happen. I won't let that happen. We're going to let you keep the aids and the support you have. That is so important to me. So you can see why people are doing it. It's their financial interest. They don't want to have a change in the program, make it more efficient, more save money that I can put back into that program. That's the difference. And, you know, this, it's how it is. But I appreciate the opportunity just to clarify that for your listeners.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters. With us again, a very special guest, Governor Kathy Hochul. And we're here talking about the policies. She just defined what she is doing with the home health care. And that was a very important point. Beyond this, we were talking about the refund. What else is your administration doing to tackle affordability for New Yorkers over the long term?
Well, I have a whole list of things. We are working on money for families. I mean, I don't want to give all my secrets away because we have our plan.
But whatever you could share with us, we don't want to scoop anybody. We're just taking it when you're ready to release it.
Let me tell you this. When I first became governor, we had a child tax credit for families. Again, pay your taxes. We see who's a taxpayer. We can give you money back. They excluded the youngest children. They didn't count an infant up to age 4. They only gave checks to people who were older. It's like, that doesn't make sense. The most expensive time in a child's life is when they're babies. So we now cover everybody, but I want there to be bigger checks back to families with those younger children. So we're going to be talking about how we can get more money in the system and getting more child care provided. The biggest expense is as these kids are born into a family and the family wants to work, the parents want to work, the mom needs to work. How you cover the cost of healthcare. So we have programs where if your family earns $108,000 or less, your childcare costs are capped at $15 a week. Think about that. Now, we have to find more providers. That's the problem. We have a shortage of providers, but that's money back in your pockets for what is the most expensive cost for a family beyond their rent. So those are just two examples of how we're trying to help families. We also want to build more housing so the cost of rent goes down. The more supply you build, the more it'll be less expensive. That's not as immediate, but we have to start on that path. So those are just a couple of the ideas we're working on right now to help with, you know, home health care costs. We're trying to help with the cost of your utility bills, electric bills, heating bills. They get high in the wintertime. So we have programs to help with those, especially for seniors. So any way we can help, we're going to keep doing it.
So how would someone access the programs that you have? How would they find out? They're listening. They say, you know what? I'm interested in finding out about those programs and using those programs. How would they start?
Our state website has all that information. But what we're trying to do is find ways that if you're a beneficiary of an assistance program, one of our social service programs, and you're getting, you know, whether it's food stamps or some other subsidies, to make you automatically eligible for these other programs. So you don't have to go back to another whole website or have to fill out the forms or call somebody. I want to make it easier. So our new budget plan is going to talk about how we're going to consolidate a lot of that as well. One other thing we did, I want to get more people to understand starting in January. As I mentioned, I'm a mom. I've had a couple of kids. And when you're expecting a baby, you have a much better chance of being healthy yourself, or your baby has a chance of being healthy, because we have very high maternal and infant mortality rates. One of the problems is when a mom is making minimum wage or hourly, if they take the time to go for doctor appointments while they're expecting the baby, they'll lose their money. That's a paycheck that's going to be smaller because they went and took care of their health care. In New York, starting January 1, we are the first in the nation to say that employers have to cover the cost of your prenatal visits for 20 hours during that pregnancy. Help members know that, help your listeners know that, because That is something I want to make sure every employer does, and every mom knows they can take advantage of this. So that's important. We also have tuition assistance for education, for people who want to further themselves or get some more credentials. And it used to only be for full-time students. Greg, the reality is a lot of people cannot forego an income and go to school full-time. Who can do that? So we now have TAP assistance, tuition assistance available for part-time employees or part-time students. We never had that before either. So you think about all the different ways you can help people from birth through childcare years to going off to college, whether it's a community college or four-year, just helping people get through life because it is so expensive.
That's wonderful. I mean, the New York State website, is it the governor's website or New York State website?
I'm going to get that for you because I don't even know what it is. Let me find out for you. I'll get that for you.
We're going to Google because we're listening. We'll let our listeners and our viewers Google New York State and put in the program. It should be able to.
NYS.gov. I'm sure that's the start, but it's for specific programs. It's in there.
Okay. Shifting gears, there's a new presidential election. And just in a minute, because I want to get to something that's dear to our hearts, how do you plan on working with Washington to address the needs and the fears of New Yorkers as it comes to issues like infrastructure, unemployment, housing crisis, healthcare, immigration, affordable? And if you could give me a minute and a half, because I want to talk about the Buffalo Bills.
That's a great topic for me, too, but we'll get to that one. Very quickly, I'll work with anyone who wants to help New York. But you want to hurt New York? You've got to get through me.
Okay.
I want to be very clear on that. All those programs are important. I spoke to incoming President Trump. I said there's an opportunity here to make investments in our infrastructure, keep our subways strong, because we don't function without a strong, on-time, efficient subway system, the MTA. And I said, I'll work with you on initiatives. They're important, but I'm not compromising the values of New Yorkers and who we're fighting for. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm ready for either way, cooperation or a fight.
Okay. And that says it. Okay. We got a minute. How do you feel about the Buffalo Bills' chances on going to the Super Bowl this year in the playoffs?
I feel really good about it. You just have to watch Josh Allen, our incredible quarterback, and what he's been doing. I mean, 90 points in a couple of games. I mean, it's one of the most exciting things I've done. But Craig, I don't expect everybody downstate to be a Buffalo Bills fan naturally, like I am. I was born there. But if I can unify our state behind one idea, that if the Buffalo Bills who play in New York, can it be your first choice team? Let them be your second choice team after your Jets or Giants, okay? So I get that. Let's just unify behind number one or two in your minds, and we can all head off to playoffs and hopefully on to a great victory. And I don't want to put a jinx on it. I can't put a jinx on it.
Everybody in New York State, if the Buffalo Bills win and the playoffs and the Super Bowl, there's tax money and revenues coming back to New York State. So there's an incentive to root for them, right?
We'll call it not the inflation rebate, but the Buffalo Bills victory rebate, everybody. How about that?
There we
go.
So it's more money in the pot for New Yorkers to say, hey, look, instead of $3 billion, maybe we could grow that to four.
Okay, now you're pushing.
I'm not pushing. I'm hoping.
All right, I'm hoping too. Hey,
I'm hoping because maybe they buy Buffalo Bills merchandise all over the country and the tax revenue goes up because some money comes back to the state. It's possible.
You know what? I'll watch those numbers. If they start going up, I might have to give some more back.
It's possible. So thank you, Governor. You've been listening to Reaching Out. A very special guest once again, Governor Kathy Hochul, who's welcome to come back anytime when she has something to announce, something she wants to talk about. Thank you for coming back on Reaching Out.
Oh, thanks you, my friend. Always great to talk to you. And happy holidays to all your listeners.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.